Chapter 60. Darrow. The Weight of Guilt. The daughters of Ares have assembled for my trial. I shuffle through the old nickel mine draped in chains. The gold cape a few black owls hung around my shoulders in mockery sways. A dozen guards lead me forward. I search for Severo in the crowd, but do not find him or Lyria. My grubby prisoners shift, itches. It feels familiar, the shift, the chains, the fear. How many kinds of shackles have I worn over the years? My judges are far more numerous than the guards. There must be 7,000 of the armed rebels, as many as the chamber will hold. They watch from the suspended cable walkways, dangle their feet from the circular jumpways that link the levels of the mine township, and perch atop landed skimmer hulls. They crowd the bottom level to either side of my route to the dais where I will be judged. They are equal parts women and men. In their ranks I see what I recognize as reds, browns, yellows, pinks, and oranges. All cover their sigils in black wraps. They are the original daughters, all lost kin in Romulus's purge, Ori says. Their faces may be soft from lifetimes spent far from the sun, but their eyes are harder than any miner's hands. On Luna, I strode before senators with contempt in my every step. It got me nowhere. So I look these judges in their eyes, as humble as a 7-foot-tall man of war can be amongst those bred for service and toil. I take on their contempt, their anger, their resentment, just as I took in the love of my free legions. If I deserved one, I certainly deserve the other. Most fearsome of all are the young. Callous youths who have never known me as a hero, puffing their burners, polishing their guns, picking their teeth, swaying their boots. They glare at me in silence from the jump walks that string across the cavern to link its levels. My eyes chance on a slim brown girl above. She looks no older than Io was when she died. Her hair is shaved, half of her pale face smeared in grease or war paint. A big weapon meant for a grey lies in her lap. She sees me looking at her, and she makes the gun of her hand, points it at me, and pulls the trigger. "You said Athena preached forgiveness," I say. Ori seems sad. "She did once. Now she carries a gun." I turn on Ori as we reach the stage. She tried to take the gold cape from my shoulders when I entered, but had her hands swatted away by the owls. Athena waits atop the stage, wearing her helmet, a gun, and Parphoros. Behind her, Diomedes stands chained. Ori watches him with pained eyes. "It's love, then?" I ask.
"He once told me that love which obstructs duty is not love. It is an addiction that must be denied."
She smiles, sad.
"Maybe he was right."
"No. He's a noble idiot who was brainwashed by a military cult and somehow still turned out to be a decent man. Ori, 2/3 of Europa's population is still on the surface. If Diomedes and Athena can be brought to reason, then we could evacuate many of them down here. I think I can convince the Ra, but Athena will listen to you. If you..."
"She has listened to me, and to Severo and Lyria. But Diomedes' life is not in her hands, neither is yours. It is in theirs."
She nods out to the daughters and their sea of vengeful eyes. "Well, shit." She turns my head to look into her eyes. They are filled with acceptance and fierce love.
"I expected you to be an arrogant tyrant. That is what they see. Show them what you showed me. Show them who you are. A traveller on the path," she says softly.
The guards push me up the stairs to join Athena. My mind races as I ponder Ori's words. A few chants of Athena's name echo through the chamber until Athena marches up to me, yanks off the golden cloak in disgust, and hurls it off the stage. She holds up her hand. Silence falls like night, slowly, then all at once. Her voice echoes through the chamber.
Darrow of Mars, you stand accused of collaboration with the enemy, Romulus Aura, resulting in the liquidation of 13,412 sons of Ares from Jupiter to Pluto. You stand accused of mass homicide in your assault upon the dockyards of Ganymede, which resulted in the fatalities of more than 150,000 reds, greens, browns, and oranges.
As she recites several more accusations, I find Severo in the crowd. It is hard to meet his eyes. They are angry. They should be. I brought us here despite his warnings. How many times have I ignored him, placated him, told him I would get him home only to somehow drag him further and further away? He just wants to be a husband and father. So did I. I remember the purity of that feeling. It was clean. To love and be loved, to guide and be guided. This is dirty, this life I lead instead. I am dirty, as Dancer promised. Severo said he had to keep me shiny. That was his job. It's time to tell them I haven't done mine. It's the only chance to complete my mission. And my mission is not to get ships, not to slay Far, not even to save Mars. It is to make sure that the light does not go out. When Athena has levied all her charges, she asks how I plead. Ori nods up at me from the crowd. I see Lyria standing beside Severo and think of Camp 121, of the many I could not protect. Then I smile at Severo, thinking of the time he saved Cassius's life long ago when the Obsidians tried to hang him, and say, "Years ago, a friend stood before a court much like this one." I lift my chin. "I plead now as he did then. I am guilty." The response is mixed. The daughters murmur, some in confusion, many in vindication, others in fury that I would make a mockery of them. Severo hangs his head. Ori smiles. Lyria leans forward, her face open. "She is my audience. Those I uplifted only to abandon."
"You know the sentence is death?" Athena asks. "I do. I have no defense. I did sell your kin to Romulus Aura."
I glance back at Diomedes and say to him,
"I am guilty of destroying the dockyards of Ganymede, of murdering its workers and caretakers."
I turn back to the daughters and raise my voice so even those in the back can hear me.
"I am guilty of enough crimes for 1,000 men. Torture, kidnapping, blackmail, murder, bombings, rains, all of it.
I have broken nearly every oath I have taken. I have flattened cities, set fire to generations, raised oceans, broken worlds. I've killed men, women, children, if not with my own hands, then with ships under my command. I have betrayed mentors and friends and led them to their deaths. I have left my legions to die to save myself. In my name, if not by my consent or orders, prisoners have been slaughtered, populations displaced, ice caps melted, iron rains hurled down on the just and unjust alike. I am guilty. I reek of blood and shame. I am sorry for what I've done, but I will not apologize for why I did it. I believe in the dream of Io, the dream of Ares, the dream of Ragnar, that we are all born with the right to choose our own destinies, to live in peace, to pass down that same freedom to our children. I will not apologize for that, for doing all I can to give this dream to my son.
even if in doing so I lost my right to walk the path to the Vale, to pass the old man who guards it, and join my father, my friends, Io. But if I could, I would take back my crime against you. It is the great regret of my life. I did not betray you because I sought your misery. I did not turn you over to Romulus because I delighted in your suffering. I did it because I was young, blind, but most of all, I was afraid. So I strayed from the path of Fichtner, of Io, and I took a shortcut. I began like many of you, born to drill and die. I was given power, but that power never made me less afraid. That power made me desperate, arrogant, and far too willing to sacrifice others. After the Battle of Ilium, I feared the Ra would fall upon our flanks. I was afraid that I could not save my people and your people at the same time. So I chose mine. That was the folly, pretending we were separate. We are one people. We always have been. I know that now. My betrayal of you betrayed the dream I claimed to fight for. Io did not even know these worlds of yours existed, but she would have believed, as Ares did, that this dream has no boundaries. It is open to all. It includes all of those brave enough to stand when the golds tell us to kneel. And it includes those who are perhaps not brave enough. Not yet. My mistake was thinking I was alone. That if I fell, if I lost, there'd be no one left to fight. I know that is not true. Because Ares fell. And look at all of you. I look down at Severo. Alone, we are weak, at the mercy of fear. Alone, we are too willing to compromise our morality. Our courage comes from the belief that we are not alone, that we cannot be divided. That is why I beg you, learn from my mistakes. Let my death have a greater purpose, saving as many lives as it can. I am not here to petition for myself, but for those Europans stranded on the surface, for the Ganymedes hiding behind their shields, or the Ionians still holding out in their crypts. I beseech you all, do not turn your back on the Corps, on those living free on Mars, on those fighting to regain freedom on Mercury, on Earth. We are all one people. None of us is alone. Here, now. You believe you are alone against Far and his horde. Your fear will tell you that you must protect your own, that you must keep the sea lifts closed, even if it means the civilizations on the surface will be slaughtered, enslaved. You believe you have no choice. But you do. I nod to Diomedes. That is the Prince of Sungrave. You can judge him for the sins of his ancestors. You can kill him. Or you can let him tell you of Kaliki. Let him tell you of Sungrave and the slaughter he has witnessed. You want change? Now is the time to make it. To show this gold, all golds, the quality of your dream. You want progress? Unity? Make it. Here and now, and for the future. I pause until the echoes of my voice recede. No one jeers any longer. My hands tremble behind my back. Bound as they are, I cannot reach for Pax's key. But I feel it pressed against my chest and hope he would be proud of this speech, overwrought as it is. In my head, I wrote it as if he stood beside Severo. Even if I die, maybe he will hear it one day and know I've found myself in the end. When I was 16, Dancer O'Farron, one of the great heroes of my life, told me that I was a good man who would have to do bad things. That is why Ares chose me. He knew I could be the dirty hand of the rising. I could be the man who does the bad things. For most of my life I have thought that was a curse. Now I see it was a blessing. If you look at where we started, we are 1,000 times stronger now. I do not ask for your forgiveness or your mercy. I ask only that you succeed where I failed. Do not surrender your dream to fear. Do not take the short route through shadow. You know your path. If you think you are alone on it, just look to your right, look to your left, look across the solar system and see what I see. A tide of one people who want only one thing, liberty. I am done. The eyes judge and the eyes hate. There is no cheering or pumping of fists. Only a shuffle of feet, a clatter of chains, as the guards exchange Diomedes and me. Athena reads the hulking man his charges. When it comes time for him to speak, he looks around without any contrition and glowers out as if facing a firing squad.
Civilization is based on exchange and social contracts. I was taught that the low colors exchanged liberty for security and stability. We have failed to provide security. We have failed to provide stability. We have failed you. The contract is broken. Take your due.